I'd like to call this emergency meeting of Isle Palm City Council to order. Today is March the 20th, 10 a.m. I'd like to acknowledge that both the press and the public were duly notified of this meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. And as everybody can see, we are practicing social distancing and limitations to our numbers, but this is being live streamed, correct?
Correct.
Okay. The first order of our business is an update of the COVID-19 emergency operations. Desiree, you want to kind of walk us through where we're at?
Absolutely. As you all know, on Tuesday, March 16th, the mayor signed a declaration of state of emergency for the city of Isle of Palms. Starting on Monday, the recreation center and the grounds were closed. We have canceled our classes, programs, and events until further notice. We have also canceled our public meetings as well until public notice, including boards and commissions and council. At the rec center, staff has deployed signs indicating that the rec and the grounds are closed and encouraging people to stay home. Those have been deployed throughout the whole property. Police department has also increased patrolling in those areas, dispersing crowds when those happen. City hall offices have been closed to the public since Wednesday. We have been maintaining some level of operations remotely and with staggered schedules. We don't have more than three people at any given time inside City Hall to increase physical distance between employees. The building department has continued issued public building permits and licenses, although remotely via email. We are in the process of rolling out online payments for the building department. That was something that was not available. We think that we can get that going running today. However, we installed a lockbox at the front lobby at City Hall to allow people to drop payments and get their permits and licenses. That has been working out pretty well. We are encouraging folks to use online services for most transactions. That has worked out fairly well as well. My goal is to continue some level of normal operations and not completely shut everything down, and even non-essential services. If things continue to progress and we have to move completely remotely, that may change. But in the meantime, staff feels comfortable by staggering schedules and working one day in the office and then one day at home. Police and fire and sanitation continues working normal operations. We are increasing cleaning and disinfecting and making sure that people are following the CDC's guidelines of social distancing between employees. Our fire department, as I indicated to you yesterday or the day before, now the days are all blurry, but we have moved the fire department to the third floor again. There were concerns about them being in close quarters in the trailers and sleeping close to each other. Currently in the third floor, they don't share rooms. They would be sharing rooms in the trailer. So we have been working with Trident and the design build team to reschedule and redefine what the construction work would look like in this situation and in the near future. So what we're going, we basically pivoted and we're just doing, starting work outside and on the second floor. It was gonna be working our way down. So we've established protocols and guidelines for the construction workers to ensure that they don't have any contact with our fire department personnel while work is happening. So that is the plan for now. Currently the CDC nor the White House have issued any restrictions to construction work. So they're moving on as scheduled. Obviously we'll see some delays because of this situation, but we think that we may be in good shape if things continue the way that they are by not restricting that type of work. Like I said, household garbage collection is open and going through normal operations, but that depends on our landfill and how is that working?
No.
Oh.
It just died.
Maybe we can do Facebook Live?
Not without a camera.
With the iPad?
Oh, yeah.
Let's try that.
Okay.
So We tried, we tested the live stream yesterday and it worked.
Of course.
Everything has changed in 24 hours.
Garbage operations will obviously depend on the schedule for the landfill. As of right now, Charleston County has not announced any closings or any changes to the Bees Ferry landfill, so we'll continue to operate sanitation services as normal. There may be some delays in yard debris because the priority will be just household garbage. Recycling has continued as normal as of today. That's pretty much it for the city hall and city government and city operations. We have been developing contingency plans for this pandemic, identifying resources in every department that could be redeployed to other duties, particularly around the beach, potential sanitation. So we're working on different plans and different strategies depending on potential shortage of employees. We think we're in good shape, but we are getting concerned about the potential of having public safety personnel sick and not being able to work. And currently the guidance is if we have somebody who has been in contact with somebody with COVID-19 to self-quarantine for 14 days. That is traumatic and has a potential to impact our services significantly. Currently, we have one fire department personnel who has not been feeling very well. That person has not been tested yet. We're trying to check with MUSC to see if there is a different screening method for our first responders, and we're working on that currently, but that person has been staying home just in case, just out of an abundance of precautions.
Yes, sir. Questions?
Yeah, just public works, right? So after seeing what we saw on the beach yesterday and knowing what we know through experience of what's left on the beach with day tripping, precautions for public works and similar concerns. Nobody knows how long the virus lives on what surfaces. And the one thing I think we're sure of is we have an exponential increase in the amount of trash with the amount of people coming to the beach. So is that being addressed with Public Works?
So Public Works does not pick up garbage on the beach. That's a private contractor. But yes, Public Works.
They do the beach chairs and all the other stuff that are left though out. We spend three hours every Monday just picking up chairs that are discarded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is part of the yard debris operation, which currently is not a top priority. But yes, we have been ensuring that they're keeping up, they have gloves, they're being very careful, keeping distance with each other, and try not to touch any surfaces with their hands. And as soon as they come into the workplace, they're being told. And
and our contractors, how many people?
Two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Yes, sir.
Are the contractors still on a regular schedule?
Correct.
As well?
Yes. Okay. That hasn't changed.
Anyone else?
But I think it's worth pointing out that the contractor largely uses a machine.
Correct.
Although there is the potential for him to be handling the trash cans at some points, but hopefully.
Or not at work. Hmm. Or not at work.
Is anybody interested in what's going on in Folly Beach right now?
Yes.
Yeah. The mayor proposed limiting access to residents, workers, and rental guests with a contract. Workers include construction workers and landscape letterhead with names and address of where they're working. Goes in windshield so police can check 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. That checkpoint sounds like it's a done deal, but I'm not sure if the council is going to agree with him. I think we're all kind of in this together, mm-hmm. if y'all are interested.
Yeah.
So they're going to keep sending updates.
Any other questions for Desiree? I've got one, Desiree, if you don't mind. I thank you because I have constantly sent these emails. Desiree's getting tired of hearing from me. But our public safety, you're in constant communication with both police and fire because, they're the ones who are our first responders when something happens, and as long as we are communicating with them and they're comfortable with what's going on, I want to make sure that they're comfortable and they're protected because we cannot afford to have them catch any kind of illness. Not only for their health, but everybody who they work with's health. So again, please just stay in touch on an ongoing 24/7 basis. Okay, now for some more discussions. Number three, discussion of impact of the COVID-19 economically.
Yes.
Yeah, so I've asked Debbie to run some schedules and some projections of what we might be seeing in terms of our tourism impact and what that means for our fund balances and also to our just overall tourism revenues projected for this year and for next year. So you all have two copies of some schedules, and I'll ask Debbie to walk us through some of the assumptions that we have put together for you all.
So we'll start with the tourism revenues. And this run used the following assumptions. March, current through June 2020, assuming tourism activity, tourism revenue is down 75%. From July to September, down 50%. From October to December, down 25%. And then as of January 2021, we're back to normal. That's for accommodations, heads and beds. Hospitality, it's a little more extreme. March through June, down 85%. July through September, down 65%. October through December, down 50%, and then again resuming normal economic activity effective January 2021. These are almost wild guesses, but I tried to be as conservative as possible. I think this is almost worst case scenario, but it's really hard to know. So if you accept those assumptions, you move to the fund balance schedule. So in addition, you know, if tourism is down by that much, other economic engines on the island are also going to suffer. For instance, local option sales tax. Everybody who pays accommodations fees also pays, local option sales tax. Licenses and fees in general. If everybody's revenues are down, their license fees are going to go down. Parking fees, I'm assuming a huge hit there. And the tourism revenue is down 75%. In addition, we might have some additional expenses associated with overtime in our critical departments, fire, police, and public works. So I've tried to say, take a look at, we've only got a certain number of months between now and June 30, right? So if for the remainder of the year, overtime is up 30%. This is the impact.
Yes, sir. Questions?
I just want to say before, to give some background, we have been in touch with our short-term rental management. As you all know, we had a meeting last week where nobody ever imagined that this is where we would be today. And we've been communicating with them constantly, sharing updates. And yesterday we sent out a notice asking them to provide to us any immediate impact that they have seen in the past days. We're getting that information. It's trickling in. The significant impact of people canceling. Others have seen an uptick of people saying, well, if I'm going to be quarantined and I have to stay at home for 2 to 3 weeks, I might as well do it on the beach. So some short-term management companies have been communicating to us about the status of the beach, which we'll talk about in a minute. Because they see that as an impact to potentially having guests continue and not cancel their reservations. The Boardwalk Inn is shutting down either today or tomorrow. That was the message that I got yesterday from them. They've shut down their restaurants and also the spa. So we will see a significant impact on that end. They are focusing a lot on their short terms and home rentals versus the hotel, with the idea that that increases social distancing and people are not sharing common spaces as much.
The hotel rooms are closed, though.
Boardwalk Inn, correct.
And the restaurants, except for Hughes.
Mm-hmm. And the Sweetgrass Pavilion is also closing in the next day or two also. So all conferences, all events, weddings, everything has been canceled.
Questions?
They're asking people to speak up a little bit.
Okay. If we can speak up.
Okay.
Please, for the live streaming.
Okay. Chair Ways and Means, any questions?
No. I mean, Debbie, we've all had conversations this week. And, I mean, I think the assumptions are, you know, best guess at this point. I mean, worse than where we were, you know, at our workshop 3 weeks ago or whatever. But I think it's good assumptions. Probably, I hope Debbie's right. I hope it is a worst case scenario. But
what this tells us is, even with this level of reduction, there are no negative fund balances here. We're definitely not where we would like to be, but we are in a sustainable position at the end of June.
I would just say, I think that, I think this is definitely feasible. I think there is a decent chance that we could be farther down the road in terms of 25% decrease starting in October might be optimistic, depending on how things play out. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, different scenarios of how things play out, and one is that this is an extended issue until there's a vaccine. So, but, you know, if things get resolved faster, and sudden, you could see a lot of rescheduling for October. So it could go either way.
We'll continue to, you know, try to update these forecasts as new information.
Debbie, can you speak up if they can't?
We will continue to update the forecast as we get new information.
We have started working on the budget. As you all know, we had some assumptions there. We had some projects that we were planning on funding for the next coming year. And we have already started internally talking about what's critical, what's mission critical at this point. And I'm sure that we'll continue to meet and discuss what the next year's budget looks like. But I think that we're all at a point where everything is on the table. And we're going to have to rethink. We're going to have to rethink a lot of assumptions and see where we are and what's sustainable for the city to continue providing essential services at this point.
One other thing I wanted to point out is you'll see the disaster recovery fund is shown on this schedule, $2.6 million. So that is in the city's back pocket, should we need it. That's what it's for. It's for something, some disaster like this.
Well, and it's worth, as you mentioned, noting that we have and carry over a fund balance of how much each year, usually, typically?
$15 million.
Right.
Easily.
And an undesignated fund, amount of money that is there for these kinds of situations.
Right. Absolutely.
Councilmember Bell.
Just nothing but a reminder, those fund balances were for storms, and as we're showing, recovery in these numbers, we're entering the storm season. So just everyone, you know, worst case may not be the worst case, and I think we have to have our eyes wide open on this one.
Any other questions on the budget and the impact?
I believe Desiree, don't you want to talk about the FEMA?
Yeah, so FEMA, with the president's disaster declaration, that opens up the ability to seek reimbursement from FEMA. As of right now, the focus is on emergency protective measures, including forced account labor. So in the past, it's been typically available to the city seek reimbursement for overtime expenses only, not regular time. Some expenses related to materials and just getting prepared to respond to an emergency. So we've already initiated that process, and we're keeping documentation and making sure that we're ready to go when that documentation is required to get reimbursement. But again, that usually takes time, but that means that the federal government would be in a position to assist the city in some of the expenses that we'll incur in the next that we've incurred in the past couple weeks and will incur however long this emergency situation exists.
Any other questions? Just real quickly, you know, we're talking about the city, but, you know, our business community, they are being hit hard. They're laying off, you know, employees by 50%. And that's based on what we got going on right now, not to say what's going to happen in the next, you know, week or month. So, again, you know, I feel for everybody. I feel for the employees who are on the week-to-week paychecks. But right now, our job is we got to take care of the city, our employees, and our residents. But these numbers, Debbie, thank you for putting that together so quickly. And, you know, we can deal with it as it comes.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Stay tuned, right? Okay, moving on. Discussion about the beach. This ought to be interesting, for the lack of a better term. You know, we've got three different communities. We were on a conference call yesterday with Folly Beach, Sullivan's Island, and Isle of Palms. And I really thought that we were going to come out as a united front. And there were three sets of opinions on what to do and what not to do. It's a fluid motion right now of everybody's got a different idea, and we're all very unique. You know, Folly Beach is kind of like us in that they're vacation rental, heavily, you know, impacted with the locals going out there for the day. They got one bridge in. Sullivan's Island is not as much tourism related, but they do have a huge daily visitor impact. And Isle of Palms is tourism, daily visitors, and year-round residents. So, I mean, it's a mixture. And the question is, you know, what do we do with the beach? You know, there's been a movement of people saying, shut the beach down. For up this whole week, I've been, keep the beach open. You know, I look, in fact, I Googled this morning, you know, at Central Park, it's still open, of all places. Charleston County Parks closed their parks yesterday afternoon. Elliot Summey called us yesterday as we were having our meeting, and he was trying to come out to us, and he got stuck in beach traffic in Mount Pleasant at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then he just kind of went out there and said, all right, this is crazy. They also had helicopters going both north and south of Charleston County taking pictures of all the beaches. And I think everybody was stunned yesterday with the number of people on the beaches. And I'd say that, you know, we were probably one of the more heavily. Yes, ma'am.
Just as background for this conversation, because I know that, you know, everybody's going to want to chime in. We have received, as you all know, a lot of pressure from the community, from some members of the community, about the city doing something with the beach. You know, there are different alternatives for us to consider. You know, at staff level, we have been talking about, you know, what are these alternatives look like? How are those alternatives enforced? And is there a measured approach that could continue to provide some access to the community to the beach? Because we recognize that it's important to go out, and people are going to look for places to public areas to be out. I mean, realistically. So is there a measured approach between it's a free-for-all, welcome everybody, come to the beach, and try to avoid groups of larger than 10, or keep social distancing, which, as we have seen, based on the example from yesterday, that was not happening, and it's very concerning to us. Or a close out the beach completely, no access to everybody. Something that folks need to understand, if the approach is to close the beach, that means the beach is closed for everybody. It's not only available for residents and not available for non-residents. That would be the approach. Is that what we want? Just making sure that everybody understands that closing the beach means that. Yesterday we had an increased calls for services, so I want you to also think about what that means for our public safety personnel. They're responding to missing children on the beach. They're responding to water calls. They're responding for drunkenness. We arrested a gentleman yesterday driving his Jeep on the beach, drunk. You know, those circumstances are putting our people at risk, and we're already thinking and putting plans together to be able to protect the community next week with half of our force. So exposing our public safety personnel to these circumstances increases their risk, and you know that is my number one priority, making sure that we have healthy staff that can continue to provide services to this community. One of the alternatives that we've discussed at staff level, and it's supported by most of staff, is maybe a more measured approach. We close the public parking lot down on Front Beach. We maintain the parking spaces available between 10th and 14th. And we limit parking on Palm Boulevard to just one side of the beach. That would mean social distancing by reduced parking. As long as we have some access available, we can ensure that people will still be able to come and walk down the beach for an hour or two if they want. Residents will still be able to enjoy a jog or a run at the beach. But I think that we would support an approach like that before just closing out the beach altogether. Feels very drastic. Certainly enforceable, we can certainly do it, and if that's what council wants to do, we'll support that. But I want you all to consider maybe that approach first, because if not, if we would be impacting people who live in front of the beach or people who can walk to the beach and responsible folks that are using the beach responsibly. We have ordered signs. We got them delivered today, and our idea was to deploy these in every beach access just as a reminder to folks to social distance and avoid crowds. But there is no easy decision. It is a tough call, and I've just got a message from Folly Beach. They are definitely going to restrict access to the island. So we may see an increase in, if we don't do anything, we may see an increase in traffic over here.
Can I approach the pink elephant in the room then, I guess?
By all means, this is what we're here for.
So now that you know, we know that Folly Beach is going through in closing, I just touched the microphone. Right. Now that we know that Folly Beach is going through closing, when obviously that's kind of what we're waiting for. We're waiting to see who's going to pull the trigger first. And that's going to shoot more people over this way. I know Folly, I talked to some of the council members yesterday, and they were inundated. So they're going to find somewhere else to go, and it's going to be Sullivan's Island and Isle of Palms.
But Ryan, they're not closing the beach, they're restricting
access. No, restricting access, I mean.
Island.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, they're restricting access to the island. I mean, so basically, it's going to be residents or business owners.
But residents, business owners, and folks that have a contract with a short-term rental.
Correct. So, and that's the thing is, if we just restrict, if our plan is to move forward and just restrict parking to one side of the street, we're going to have parking on one side of the street from Breach Inlet all the way to Wild Dunes, and then we're going to have people driving around. We'll have people parking at the rec center because it's free, and walking to the beach. We'll have people parking. It's not going to change a whole lot in the south end of the island where you have parallel parking on one side already. So the pink elephant in the room is, what's it going to take to limit access to the island? And I think that's the way we need to approach it. It's hard.
Councilman Speaker.
The measure that Folly Beach is planning on going to, is that much like the approach that you've been recommending, you and the staff, that measured approach?
No. They are restricting access to the island to residents, contractors, or folks that have a contract with a short-term rental. They're just restricting access to the island, so not necessarily to the beach.
Do we have
They also have one way in and one way out. They have a pretty robust system for checkpoints, establishing checkpoints for their personnel. So they've done this before many times. So for them, the residents are pretty well aware and used to that process.
Well, Councilman Buchanan's point also, this is definitely going to push more people to Isle of Palms, and closing, 12 county parks, is definitely going to increase traffic as well. So we're going to get the brunt of it, I would think, in terms of additional vehicular traffic from off island coming on. And I like the idea of the sort of the measured approach that you had discussed, Desiree, that you and the staff came up with closing the public lot and maybe restricting parking on Palm and other areas. But do we have beach service officers that would be able to manage that effectively?
Chief?
Yes. Ms. Fergoso and I spoke this morning,
And we do have a plan in place regardless of what council makes a decision to do today. We are preparing the police department to put out your orders and carry them out. We do have enough personnel with BSOs, as well as using some of our other areas in the city that are maybe closed down, like the rec center. We may be able to use some of those employees to help us facilitate closing one side. And our approach was to close the land side of Palm Boulevard, which will greatly reduce the amount of parking and kind of force social distancing through parking. We would still allow businesses, employees of the businesses on Front Beach to use Municipal Lot A, which is the same one that right now houses the public safety trailers. So we've got a plan in place, and I think we have personnel standing by. They're waiting for us when we're out of here. When we roll out, they're ready to put the plan in motion and understand that whatever you do today, it's going to be a trickle effect because people are already here for the day. So we won't necessarily be able to, if we restrict parking on one side, we're going to have to trickle those folks out. We're going to have to trickle them out of the parking lots. If you want them off of the beach, then we'll have to do a plan where we put folks on the beach from the police department, basically working from one end of the island to the other end of the island, and having people off. We're also going to have to put an individual or an officer over here to help direct traffic to get them off. Any of it can be done. We're here to support you and support our community, so we've got a plan in place. But
Chief, could you please to talk to the approach if the decision is made to restrict access to the island?
If we restrict access to the island, if that's what council's will is, we would have to work, obviously, with our partners over on Sullivan's Island, because we have two access points onto our island, coming from Sullivan's Island and coming from the Isle of Palms connector. So we would have to place an officer at both of those locations, and we would have to screen. If we did that, we would use the passes that we get, the decal for resident parking. That same decal, just like we would for a hurricane reentry, would be used to let people on, as well as the construction companies already have the business license or the parking passes they get from the building department. So we would already facilitate that. Most of our businesses have already, last year during the hurricane, obtained their permits to come back on the island. We have a plan in place for that. We would roll the same thing out we would for a hurricane if we shut down the connector. The only concern I would have with the connector is, you know, we would want to make sure that a legally sound approach to that, because this is a public roadway that we're closing down. It's not just a city-owned roadway. But we are here and ready to facilitate whatever you need.
Councilman Bell.
Yeah. Just when we have these discussions or emails, the assumption seems to be from the public that we're closing everything for the year. Right? There's no, I haven't gotten any emails that talk about short term. Just a couple things quickly. This is an exponential growth of virus. Every public safety expert has said you've got to hammer it at the top and flatten the curve. So one thing we need to keep in mind, there's what we do for 2 weeks in accordance with sound public policy, and there's what we do after 2 weeks. But once the sort of the cat's out of the box, there's nothing you can do about it. So I think we need to divide this conversation in a couple of ways. One is follow sound public advice, hammer it at the top, come back to it later. You know, nobody wants to just shut the island down, I don't think. But, you know, everything you read says social distancing doesn't work. Yeah, I was reading the French Prime Minister's comments yesterday about French President. These folks are idiots. We're implementing another 15-day mandatory lockdown. Right. The thing that I think about sitting up here, none of us thought we'd be sitting in life or death situations, but I'll tell you, one thing about leadership is making decisions that are very, very difficult. And I think we're faced with something none of us ever thought we were going to be faced with. But I'll tell you, the consequence of a bad decision here is something none of us want to live with. So, you know, I can live with, you know, rental companies being mad at me or people being mad because they can't walk on the beach. What personally I can't live with is putting people's lives at risk. And I just want to remind everybody as we think through this, if we don't hit this thing with a sledgehammer head on, we're going to have some serious issues like they are the rest of the world.
Councilman. Yes, ma'am.
Could we speak to the legality of closing the or restricting access to the island for certain groups of people?
Well, I would have to talk to whoever's making that decision at Folly. I mean, that's a state road as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if they're restricting access to, I mean, at this point, we're kind of in a wild, wild west situation. Yeah. You know, the state statute gives us the authority to make these decisions based on public health and safety. all we can't do at this point is levy taxes.
Okay.
So I think
it's, so we're within our legal bounds to set up checkpoints.
Correct. We are getting in line with everyone else is doing this. So, you know, if it's a matter of public health and safety, I think it's something we can consider and do.
We're in a unique situation as an island that we can contain.
Right.
Are other communities that are not islands restricting in and out access? I mean, that's would be very difficult for a Mount Pleasant to achieve.
None that I'm working for right now are considering that as an option.
And the difference between Folly's population and our population and the traffic that they have to contain versus the traffic that goes through, what is the difference?
There are islands about 5 miles long. Their population is about half of ours, but their day visitors are equal to ours.
Okay. They have the one advantage of just having that one road in and out. Mm-hmm. We used to have that option, but not anymore.
Advantage.
Yes. Well, and you know, I can expect a big traffic of people trying to get decals now and panicking and wanting to get proper documentation to be able to get back on the island. So, and that is a service that we have ceased to. You know, we've stopped doing that and have moved online. So just. You know,
Councilmember Pounds and then Moy. Yes.
So, Mr. Bay, and Randy, I would definitely agree with you. We're sitting here making a decision with the information you have today. We may be sitting right here, you know, next week, next day, next month, whatever. But, you know, to me, you know, we're CDC, state, federal hasn't come out and said shut down everything. So, I don't know, you know, that I would see what makes us smarter than all those people personally. So I think the restricted access, however we define that, is the measured best way to go, in my opinion.
You're saying restricted access with a checkpoint at the
parking,
that's what you're saying,
yeah.
To clarify.
Somehow, to be defined to me, how you restrict access, or are you restricted to? I'd love to hear more from the chief on what that feels and looks like, because that seems extraordinary.
Councilmember Moy, and then
So I'm going to speak loudly so don't think I'm shouting, but I am kind of shouting for the Facebook people. Earlier this week, I spoke with Desiree and the mayor and said, I mean, I think we could anticipate the crowds that we saw yesterday with the weather and the situation and the spring break and all of the confluence of things. We anticipated the crowds. And I was initially very much, I think we should take action now. I did a little bit of due diligence and I spoke to some medical professionals at MUSC because with Councilmember Bell's point, we're trying to flatten the curve here. We're not trying to stop a virus. We're not going to stop it. That's not we don't have that ability here on Isle of Palms. We're trying to flatten the curve and help our healthcare professionals and our public safety professionals have the adequate resources to address the virus as it spreads. So, in speaking to someone from MUSC who's well in hand with what's going on and their reactions, he said, you know, I don't think at this time it makes sense to close the beaches. With what's going on in Folly and what we've been seeing, I've been texting him and talking to him throughout. He's saying, I'm reversing course and I'm thinking, you do need to take action. And he's not necessarily advocating that we close the beaches. He's not making the policy decision, but he is saying that no action is not an option. So, and I don't hear anybody advocating that we don't need to take any action. It's either we take something measured where we restrict access or restrict parking or we close the beaches. I haven't heard anyone up here say, let's close the beaches. So if we're talking about what are the actions that we take to restrict access, let's just focus on that and figure out what are the measures. I've heard two different options, and I want to hear if there's any more that we should discuss. Otherwise, let's debate those two and make a decision. We've got the Folly Beach Act policy, which is restrict in and out to people who have a reason to be here because they live or work here, or we restrict parking. Those are the two options that I've heard. Are there others that we should discuss, or should we debate those two?
Just as an update, the Folly is leaning to restricting access between 6 a.m. and 8 p.m. Mm-hmm.
Just get others who want to speak before we, Councilman Buchanan.
And it's going back to the same point as John was just making, was we're at a point now where, I mean, if we want to look at restricting access, how are we going to do that? then what service or what staff can we utilize to do that? Does it just have to be the police department? Can we have a fire truck? Can we have different personnel down there that rotate? And it comes down to the time. I mean, we're not doing this 20, I don't necessarily need to do it 24 hours a day. We're trying to limit the influx of people going to the beach during the day. And that's really it. So whether it's 7A to 7P or something like that, I think that'd be the best way. But let's start to look at what steps we need to take to get our personnel in place to start doing that then.
Okay, any other questions?
I do have one. Could an option with the restricting parking be to just eliminate street parking as well altogether on Palm Boulevard, both sides of the street, along with closing the lots?
We could certainly
That's
do that.
That's a potential.
It'll look difficult to do that today because as of this morning, roughly 30% of the parking lots were full. Mm-hmm. We can put caution tape. You know, that's what we have talked about, having caution tape and deploying some personnel there indicating you can't park here, parking is no parking. And we also have an inventory of no parking signs that could be deployed throughout the street. Yeah, we can certainly do that as well.
And another question for the chief. In the summertime and the season, we also have had problems last year just with large gatherings of people at nighttime on the beach. Could you speak to that a little bit and how the degree to which that was a problem?
So I think our issues where large gatherings were on the beach were actually limited in the number of incidents that we had. But basically we would get calls and we would go address those. We would have small couples that would go out here and there on the beach and be present over the summer. And regardless of what action we take, the reality is there are going to be people that are going to continue to go out there. So we're going to have a maintained presence on the beach if we decide that we're going to tell people they can't be out there. And even if we decide that we're going to enforce the number of people within a gathering, which we do have the ability to do, then we're still going to have people out there and making contact with them and advising them that they need to disperse. So the other part, to go back and answer the other question about if we did a checkpoint, I do want to address it. It would have to be a police officer, because we're the only ones that have the ability to enforce the law that says you cannot come past here based on this ordinance. We couldn't put anybody else out there. They just don't have the authority. They could assist us, but you have to have a police officer sitting there with them to be able to carry it out.
And that's what I'm thinking of. The trucks are much larger than your car. It can maybe, if you pull in sideways, you can block, and it has a much larger presence, I think, as well. Correct. So assisting was...
Yes, and we've used... In my past, I've used garbage trucks to help with that.
Yes.
Nobody wants to push a garbage truck out of the way.
Okay. any other questions?
Just to follow up one more thing, the comment on Susan's. Just restricting parking on Palm Boulevard is not going to solve the problem, I believe. Because now we still have, people will still find a place to park. The recreation center was packed yesterday. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll have to restrict parking down the rec center. We'll have to restrict... And if people do, people will pull in. They'll find a place to go, and they'll park. Then are we going to issue them a citation? Because what's that going to do now? Mm-hmm. So that's all.
I asked this question to Desiree yesterday. The rec center is closed.
Correct.
You blocked the parking lot. Posted as no parking. It's closed. Sounds a little odd, and I understand people pull up on the grass and all that, but closed is closed. I was very concerned yesterday when people were writing about children playing on playground equipment, and to me, it's a petri dish of little people activities.
Year-round.
Closed is closed.
Just as an update, it looks like all three communities are looking for, talking about restricted access and focusing on the hours and what the restricted access how we define restricted access. Is it residents, short? I would strongly advocate that we allow people with short-term rental contracts so that cancellations don't start happening and they still have the ability to come in. So I think we need to maybe narrow the conversation down to what restricted access means, what times of the day, and obviously how that's going to be enforced.
Mm-hmm. Chief, question on restricted access and parking. Would that create a traffic jam?
Yep.
I know it will, but I'm just throwing it out there for because people are going to be slowly going down Palm Boulevard. And if it's restricted to one side of the street, you know, they're going to, it's going to end up all the way down to 57th Avenue.
I think at this point, any way that we go, we're going to see a traffic issue. If we decide to restrict access to the island, we're going to have a traffic issue. It's just not going to be on Palm, it'll be on the connector. If we decide to restrict parking, you'll have traffic on Palm like we did yesterday. It was pretty slow moving on Palm Boulevard. You would still have that people looking for those parking. I think the difference would be that we would have personnel out there to kind of help guide them, as opposed to yesterday, it was just kind of we were writing parking tickets or addressing parking violations as the day was going on. So this time we could kind of get in front of it. Maybe not so much today, but I think tomorrow morning we get in front of it and we can start really preventing them getting there. As they're leaving today, we mark it off and we block it off. It'll be a little slow going. And it will increase the traffic for sure. But we're going to have traffic regardless which plan we put in place.
The checkpoint would have to obviously coordinate with Mount Pleasant because that's going to have a trickle-down effect over there as well. With the checkpoint, when we have talked about this during other emergency situations, it's been on the Mount Pleasant side and having a loop and a turnaround on the connector for folks turning around.
Correct. The one thing we have to be cautious of is where we have jurisdiction to enforce our authority. Mm-hmm. Once you get off of the concrete of the bridge, mm-hmm. we no longer have authority to enforce ordinances. So we have to be on the bridge for us to enforce, actually for us to enforce a city ordinance, we have to be on this side of the flagpole.
Yeah, middle of the beach. Yeah.
And this would fall under a city ordinance at that point. Mm-hmm. So our checkpoint would have to be on this end of the connector, mm-hmm. and we would just kind of have to use the Palm Boulevard, Isle of Palms connector as a location where we can kind of get a turnaround to send people that are not welcome back. It would take some work. Mm-hmm. It can be done. It would be, in the beginning, it's going to be very cumbersome on our manpower and our staffing. Mm-hmm. But the thought would be if we chose to go that route, it would hopefully slowly trickle down and we would see less traffic.
Councilmember Smith.
I have questions that are coming up in my mind about all the people that need to come to the island that don't live here, not just contractors, but also relatives of people who live here who don't have a sticker on their car, mm-hmm. Home care givers, those kinds of things. I'm not sure how you easily resolve those situations for a resident to be able to say, oh, that person's okay, let them on in. I'm not sure which way is the best way at this point, and I'm open to hearing more discussion, but that alone is a potential, if we're talking about not just a hurricane kind of you can come in and you can't situation, but where we have people living here that need services and need attention from people off the island, how you would navigate that on a long-term basis of even a week or two.
Can I add more? I'll answer what I would do if I was in the enforcement shoes. We're not at the end of the day, this isn't a hurricane where we need access to be shut off for safety reasons. We have a public health issue with crowds. I don't think we're going to see an inundation of people coming and saying, "Oh, me and my four friends that are dressed for the beach are actually home health caregivers and we're going to a house." I think that our officers will be able to exercise an appropriate amount of judgment to say, okay, this person, I'm just throwing this out there, but I think the crowd control that we're going after is going to be achieved by restricted access that we give. And if we give guidance that if you work or live on the island, you have proof of that, that we'll be able to give our police department the appropriate amount of judgment calls to say, okay, this person is a home healthcare worker. They have medical supplies. They know the name and address of the person they're going to. And I can probably safely assume that that's the case. That would be my reaction.
I guess the concern I would have with that would be, are we restricting people who are coming to visit their friends? Are we
Yes.
restricting family members coming to visit family? Mm-hmm. If not, how do we, you don't know how many cousins I might have.
Yep.
and I'm going to be a cousin to everybody that lives yep. on this island if I'm coming.
We have that same question yep. to Folly because they have experience in managing a restricted access. And they tell their residents that you have to pick up, if you have family members, you have to pick them up across from, you know, you know, across the bridge, and they can come in with you. They just voted to restrict access from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. They just took a vote. Just wanted to give you that heads up.
And restricted contractors.
And restricted for, correct. I think that in order for us to be safe in the enforcement of this, there has to be a clear delineation of who is allowed in. I don't want to put my police officers in a position to be making that call on the fly and getting that pressure from people saying, well, you know, I'm visiting my grandmother. You know, we have to have some clear delineation. Some of these decisions have to be some sort of black and white at the end of the day, because if not, you know, we're putting them in a situation where it potentially increases the amount of time that they're managing, each person coming in and out, further exacerbating traffic and creating more issues for them. So we need to come up with a very clearly delineated list of people that would be allowed in.
And the other concern I would have with that, I'm sorry if I could share quick. The other concern I would have with that is, you are now telling these police officers who were trying to limit our interaction, they're interacting with everybody coming through that doesn't have a sticker, so we're actually increasing the likelihood of them encountering an individual that may have asymptomatic symptoms of the disease. So keep that in mind. You're now telling them you're contacting and making contact with all these people.
More contact
plans. See, that seems like they're moving pretty quick over on Folly, if you're interested. In answer to your question, they say what they're doing is residents may bring guests on the island in the same car, will not issue passes to guests in separate cars. And the residents pick up the guest off the island at the shopping center. Also, they specifically include caretakers and construction workers. And one thing is a little bit eye-opening. They're looking at starting the lockdown at 2 o'clock.
Wow.
Today. So let's bring this back. We've got two options. One is to close the beach. And if we close the beach, we're closing the beach to everyone. Not just our day visitors, our vacationers, but to our residents. That's one. The other option is a measured approach and to limit the parking across the whole island. So I guess we've got to make a decision, and then if we make a decision, then we've got to clarify.
There's a third
restrict access. I've kind of looked at that as restricted access, as for, you're talking about for what Jimmy's talking, as for people who live here and people who work here.
Right. That's pretty different.
Except, I mean, you could just restrict closed parking down, but not have a checkpoint.
Won't work.
That's one of the options.
Close the beach, restrict parking, restrict access.
Correct. So close the beach to me would be still like kind of like it's. You have to have people who come out here for healthcare workers. You have to have workers at restaurants and stuff. I mean, so whether it's a third option or a revised closed beach, I think we need to make a decision to go forward with something, and then design it. This is unprecedented what we're doing here.
I haven't heard anybody say they want to close the beach, so I think we can probably remove that.
I'm probably the one that would close the beach if I thought it were passable. It's just not passable, right?
It's not enforceable.
It's difficult to enforce, right? But if you're going to hit it with a hammer, then what option do you have that's the biggest hammer that we can get through council? I mean, I'm getting text messages like everybody is sitting up here. And one says operating under the assumption that everyone you interact with has it. Right? That's not an unreasonable assumption, right? So, you know, I think there's some combination of things. I think restricting parking on Palm, if it were me, I'd restrict it on both sides of the street, and I would restrict access onto the island. Those are the most effective things you can do. You're not shutting the beach down to residents. You can still go across the bridge and pick people up. But you're using the largest hammer available in your toolbox at this point. And again, all public advisories are saying hammer it for 2 weeks. Right? We need to use the biggest hammer we have for 2 weeks. We'll reassess. We'll know more about what's going on in 2 weeks. And, you know, nobody wants to hurt the businesses more than they're already hurt.
But the reality is, we have unprecedented decisions to make. And Jimmy, I'm sorry, but those to me, it's not just simple option one, option two. It's what tools do you have in the toolbox that you can effectively deploy, and putting our police officers and safety personnel at risk is not an option for us.
Anyone else?
Yes,
sir. What if we restrict parking on Palm and leave the public lot open? Would that be more manageable?
I think that that would be just pushing people, larger amounts of people, into one small area.
And we already have no facilities available to
correct
the island at this point. Mm-hmm. Particularly the county park now being closed. There are no restrooms.
So let's get back to solving some of these issues. If we do restrict access, and one of the concerns that the chief brought up was the fact that his officers have to deal with that. How do we mitigate that? Let's get to that point now. So obviously we need to have signage available. So leave your windows up, have driver's license or pass ready, and I think that's one of the things we're going to have to move forward with in order to expedite and
quickly
keep the traffic going. A signage on the other side of the connector, whether it be a blinking sign, an SCDOT sign saying have this documentation ready, is what we need over there as well. So when people, if they don't have it, they know they can U-turn and, go grab it if they need to anywhere on the connector. Same thing. I guess that's one of the biggest concerns we have, is trying to keep people moving through there. If anyone, I don't know if anybody else has anything to add to that.
We could make sure that they have use gloves and keep a distance when dealing with the public as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's not much distancing they can do if they're having to talk with people in a car.
Right.
Using gloves they can do,
right.
But if they're having to speak to those people that don't have passes, the people that have the passes, it's really easy.
Yeah.
We walk back, we see the pass in the back of the car, mm-hmm. Went through, we don't even need to stop those necessarily other than mm-hmm. a quick glance. The issue would be the folks that don't have those passes. Those are the ones that we're going to have to talk to each one of those. We can wear gloves to take those. And we can have them wear the little surgical masks. Remember, you're asking your officers to stand out in the sun and wear a surgical mask on top of all the equipment they're wearing and take IDs. And we can do that. We will help facilitate whatever you need.
My question, and this will probably be the decider for me, is from a public safety standpoint, how do you feel your officers are the most protected? Is it in a situation where they have to man a checkpoint, or is it in a situation where we say no public parking is available in the lots or on the streets? And then you have to navigate that situation of... well, the lots seem pretty simple. You close them. But then the spillover, navigating that versus manning a checkpoint.
I think either way we're going to have to deal with the public, and that's typically not an issue until we have a virus running around. I don't know that one would necessarily reduce it more than the other one. If we reduce parking, the officers are really... driving around with their cars, and they're just stopping people probably from their car saying, hey, you can't park here, or we're roping all that off and telling people they can't park there, which would reduce the amount of people that we're stepping out and making close proximity contact with, whereas if we're doing the checkpoint, we are making close proximity with anybody who does not have a sticker.
Right, and I think, hopefully the public education, the public awareness that, you cannot get on the Isle of Palms right now will, stop people from driving over, and they'll know, if we don't meet this criteria, we're not getting on, and I'm not going to sit in the traffic, I'm not going to get through. I think that will decrease the amount of people, mm-hmm. not only today, not only soon, but over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have to deal with this.
Well, I think that if you eliminate all public parking, you do the same thing, and that is the same. I accept that maybe you have the risk is that you have people that come over anyways and go to the beach and park, and you have to police that, but...
Right. That's going to happen.
That's going to happen.
That's going to 100% happen.
Is there a legal problem with closing all parking? Which is essence saying the beach is open, but just no parking. Is there
same answer? Yeah. I guess my question to you guys is: I'm hearing the conversation. Mm-hmm. So, are we talking about restricted access at measured points onto the island, and then once you're on the island as a resident or a service worker, We're also restricting parking associated with access to the beach.
I don't think that's necessary.
Yeah, that's what
it seems unnecessary. Seems like an additional burden on the public safety.
I just hear two different conversations going on, so I'm trying to
probably.
I don't know if we're at the point of making a motion, but
I think it's an either or.
Mm-hmm. I would be ready to make a motion.
I just checked with our neighbors at Sullivan's, and their conversation is moving currently is to keep it open and focus on social media messaging. Oh. So, you know, I think that
wow.
we're going to, it'll mean that we're going to have to manage two checkpoints, which we could do. You know, it may be pretty.
We can.
I can tell you.
I think it'll be maybe difficult for the next few days.
Yeah. And here's the thing. We're going to manage two checkpoints for the next couple of days until Sullivan's Island moves forward and limits parking or limits access.
Mm-hmm. That might
in the next couple of days.
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
Yes,
the county has indicated that they will send county deputies to the island to help in any, and they'll support any decision the city makes, and they'll also send staff to assist in enforcement.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Did somebody mention something about restricting parking all over the island?
It was one option.
One option? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Just a reflection back after Hugo. It wasn't the day visitors coming over to the beach that was the problem. It was the people coming over to ransack our houses. Mm-hmm. And we had looters and stuff that came over on the beach. They had no intention to go to the beach. They were looking at the neighborhoods.
Well, but in this situation, everybody's home. So I don't...
Not necessarily.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of second homes here.
That's true. Good point.
Okay.
Do we want to close the beach, or do we want to keep it on a limited basis?
I think John was ready to make a motion.
Okay,
that's where we stand, right?
I guess I keep hearing close to the beach, restrict access.
Close the beach is off the table.
Nobody.
Right. I'll make a motion if that's, you'll know what I'm proposing.
Absolutely. Guess it's something to talk about.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear it.
Oh, boy. Are you ready for this?
I think I am.
Are you sitting down? I'd like to move that we restrict access to the beach for 2 weeks, starting at...
To the island?
What did I say?
To the beach.
I'm sorry. thank you. To the Isle of Palms.
Okay.
Starting at... 2 p.m. today? Folly Beach, ever. Or wait, no, Chief, no. Sorry.
Is that the
what? Well, give me a realistic time frame.
I think the Chief and both the Fire Department, Police Department, Public Work, I think the city has to coordinate with that and figure out
At a time to be determined by public safety. How about that? Does that work for a motion?
Yeah, I'm about to do
at what? The soonest possible time that public safety can enact the enacted.
Okay.
This is still up for discussion anyway.
Working through it. Yep. And to include access exclusively to residents mm-hmm. with valid stickers or other proof of residency. Mm-hmm. Businesses. Oh, shoot. Look at this. You are a little wizard. Residents and property owners with proper identification, mm-hmm. Either your sticker on the car or driver's license, utility bill, deed, tax bill, lease, etc. Mm-hmm. Caretakers.
Employees, contractors.
Employees, contractors, short-term renters, mm-hmm. property managers,
mm-hmm.
and delivery persons. Including pharmacy, FedEx, UPS, Amazon, and food delivery.
Mm. How about rentals?
Did I say short-term rentals?
Yeah, short-term rentals.
What about, so do we have any, will we still have hotels operating?
That would be a short-term rental.
Correct. That would be a guest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Business owners.
Mm-hmm. Period.
John,
Chief, this may be for you. I mean, people that come to Wild Dunes have a QR code. Would that be like a family member could flash you when you have to talk to him. He's on the phone. I mean, that's the only difference between us and Folly to some degree.
So you have wild dude stickers, though.
It's not for me. We got family coming, so they've got a QR code with the pass.
Oh, for the gate.
Yeah.
For the gate.
I don't think that'd be an issue. I would want to see it. I don't know that I've seen these QR codes yet. The only other thing I would throw out there is maybe food delivery. I'm trying to keep track of the Facebook, and that was something somebody brought up. We'd want to allow food delivery to take place.
And he had delivery personnel mm-hmm. on there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a motion, and do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, discussion.
Do you all want to consider a time frame similar to Folly, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m.?
Yeah, thank you. I think that's pretty restrictive.
Yeah.
6 a.m. to 8 p.m. I would have done 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. personally.
Then everyone's going to come early.
Yeah.
Before 8, I don't think people are coming before 8.
Yeah.
Well, of course
crowds? No.
Not crowds, but...
The crowds that we're seeing now that we're trying to stem, we're trying to prevent larger... We're not trying to prevent somebody from walking on the beach, which is why we're not closing the beaches. Somebody who's coming before 8 a.m. is not coming to lay out and sunbathe.
I don't know. I was young once. It's been a while. I was
Do we hear the motion,
wake up
please?
Early to come to the beach and park.
Was there a sunbathe? I've got something drafted.
There was a sunbathe.
A lot of that is surfers. Come out of
Do you want me to repeat the motion?
Repeat the motion, please.
Okay. Access to the island will be restricted for the next 14 days, beginning at a time determined by public safety, to the following. Residents of the island with a current parking decal readily visible on the vehicle without the need for physical interaction with officers. Two service workers with current decals also visible on the vehicle. Holders of a current short-term rental contract. Relatives and or friends of residents would be allowed on the island only in the presence of a current resident in a vehicle with a parking decal. Residents and guests of Wild Dunes with proper and current identification and their QR codes. Delivery personnel, including but not limited to pharmacy, FedEx, UPS, Amazon, and U.S. Postal Service.
Does that include employees who don't have a sticker? Like if, for example, somebody who works at Delta Pharmacy but doesn't have a sticker, does that cover?
Businesses.
It would.
I was just trying to gather what you guys were just trying to put it down for what you were talking about, but I mean, we could certainly make that clearer. I mean, they would have to know the name of the business and where they're going.
There are, in all restrictions that are being discussed, there are essential medical services.
Yes.
And I think you just add language to essential medical services. Pharmacy is essential, a doctor's office is essential, dental could be essential, and it just removes that lack of clarity around businesses.
You saying essential medical or business services? I'm sorry.
I was specifically saying medical. I mean, there's no way that anyone wants to restrict medical access in any way from a pharmacy or a doctor.
Okay.
Does that include caregivers?
Correct. Caretakers, and it would also include contractors and businesses with proper business license documentation. Property managers was something else that was included in the motion, and realtors and brokers with proof of license.
And family members?
If you're not with a resident with a decal,
you have to be with the resident.
You have to be with a resident or a car.
I didn't say realtors and brokers.
No?
Property
managers.
I said property managers.
Correct.
Are you going to discriminate against brokers?
Yeah.
This would also include, you make the language clear also, like anyone that works on the island, for example, the Air Seeker supermarket, the marina, or whatever, that they're allowed on as well.
We had employees of local businesses.
Okay. Businesses, employees, and suppliers.
So back to clarity on the motion. Did that time frame, was that in there, the 8 o'clock?
No.
No, that was not. So that would have to be an amendment to the original motion.
So we're starting with a 6 a.m.
We don't have anything.
No.
Yeah. I think the idea of just making it 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
I completely agree.
I mean, you don't have to remember a morning time. You don't have to remember a night time. You just remember it's 7.
7.
Right.
So what was the time?
I'd
7
like
a.m.
7 a.m. to 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Second.
7 days a week.
So there's an amendment?
14 days. Okay.
So we have a motion for an amendment. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Are you all need to vote on the amendment first?
Any discussion?
On the amendment.
On the amendment.
Hearing none, all those in favor of the amendment for 7-7, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Ayes have it unanimous. Back to the original motion. And just to make sure that everybody's clear and for the public's, would you read it one more time?
Sure. Can you read it? Okay, please. And now my computer's messing with me. Okay. Here we go again. And I have been adding some things based on your motion. Access to the island will be restricted for the next 14 days, beginning at a time to be announced, determined by public safety, to the following. Residents of the island with a current parking decal readily visible on the vehicle without the need for physical interaction with officers. Two, service workers with current decals readily visible on the vehicle without the need for physical interaction with the officers. Three, holders of a current short-term rental contract readily visible on or near the vehicle. Four, relatives and or friends of residents will be allowed on the island only in presence of a current resident in a vehicle with a current decal readily visible. Five, residents and guests of Wild Dunes with a proper and current QR code. Six, delivery personnel, including but not limited to pharmacy, FedEx, UPS, Amazon, USPS. Seven, any delivery of essential medical services, including caregivers. And let's see, eight, employees of local businesses, including but not limited to contractors, short-term rental operators, and property managers. This will be restricted from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And that will be cleaned up.
Couple of things. Number one, if someone doesn't have a decal but they have other forms of proof, we need that needs to be in there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Proof of
other correct. Proof of mm-hmm. residency.
Got it.
She didn't read it.
Question.
It is in there now.
the other thing not listed for employees is grocery stores and restaurants. I want to make sure our grocery store.
Just a question on proof of rental. How do you know someone has a rental? Rental contract?
Rental contract. Mm-hmm.
The rental contract.
Do we need to make that part of the motion?
I think it's in
there. It is. It's in renters with a rental
slow.
Contract.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's a long motion.
Delivery.
It's there.
It's in there.
We have delivery of essential, we have a delivery personnel, including but not limited to.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Delivery personnel is in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe we can say delivery of essential medical and food services.
Okay. We can do that too.
I believe that there's still a fair number of people who don't have their new residence parking sticker. No. So can we accept last year's resident parking sticker as a form of resident identification, I think would be, and then would also maybe stop the rush to the police department to get stickers.
Well, they would have an ID. Their driver's license would have.
But it would be, wouldn't it not make it easier for police to accept a visible sticker from last year?
I think at this point we could, and I would base that on the fact that we are not allowing people to come to the police department now to get these. Mm-hmm. If they order online, it's still got to go through. They don't have to mail it out. You're looking at several days before they ever get their pass. So I would say my suggestion would be yes, we would take last year's as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We don't need to rush it.
No, correct. Don't come to the trailer to get your parking pass because you're not going to get one.
Not going to get one.
We'll send you away.
Make sure that's clear.
Correct.
Anyone else before we have a vote?
So, real quick, Mayor.
Yes.
So we said this was for 2 weeks, so really effective today. So that takes you to April 3rd, right?
Well, I was just talking to Chief Cornett about making it, having a discussion about going into effect tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of logistics that we have
right.
to go through. We need to make sure
perfect.
We have good signage. If Sullivan's Island is not going this route, then we're going to have to it's going to deplete our personnel significantly for today. We would today double down on enforcement and parking and dispersing crowds out on the beach. We will deploy these signs hopefully before noon. Before 2 o'clock at least, and
have something on the website.
And you know, we'll be pushing out messaging. Hopefully, get a press conference scheduled for earlier today, in a little bit, and start pushing that messaging. But I think that if we do it effective tomorrow 7 a.m., it'd be a lot easier on us.
So, Mayor, my real question was 2 weeks, whatever. We make it effective. Do we just need to go longer than that? We can always shorten it, or do we need to just?
I think we can be pretty adaptable. You know,
so what? Just suggestions. What I was going to until further notice. I mean, we don't have to have this whole discussion all over again. It'd be real simple if we're ready to lift whatever we put in place rather than coming together and going through this all over again.
Or new information would be more restrictive.
I think the 2 weeks has a strong positive psychological impact on people that it's a short term.
I'm okay with that.
So we can always extend and we can always stop.
Right. I'm okay with that.
Do we want to state where the access points are going to be in the
Anyone else? Okay. And from my point of view, I think what this portrays to our community and to our businesses is that we're still working and rentals are still coming. We just can't have the beaches overloaded the way they've been. I think this is a good direction to go. So I appreciate everybody's willingness to interact here, because that's what, it's too much for one person, or
we still need to vote.
We still need to vote. I'm just making sure that I get to speak too every now. Yes, sir.
I want to add on to what you're saying, because I also think that the big thing that we care about here is public safety. We're public health and public safety. We're not doing this because we want to restrict access.
Right.
And I do believe that we are achieving that goal. I know that there are folks who would prefer that we just close the beaches altogether, but the fact of the matter is getting outside is a healthy thing to do and will actually promote better health as long as the numbers are restricted. And so, unfortunately, this is the easiest, most effective way to enforce that controlled numbers.
I was just going to say the exact same thing. Public health can be impacted. Going outside, getting sunshine, getting exercise for physical and mental health is important. So if we can at least allow that in a limited way, I think it's good. It's a good way to go.
Yes. And what we're enacting here, and does this also cover the parking issue, or we still have to deal with that?
We're good.
We're good? Okay. All right.
Okay.
Quickly, Sullivan's Island just voted to keep open for now to groups of 10 or less, subject to change.
Why don't you text them, tell them what we did.
And just so you know, the ordinance that you're actually adopting, there's some other things in here other than the beach access. You received a copy the night before.
Correct. It makes clear that we're suspending normal city operations and the public meetings. Currently, the city code requires council to meet once a month, so we would need to include that part as part of the ordinance. All deadlines imposed by city ordinance would be suspended during this temporary period, so those deadlines delayed. With no penalty. That includes the remittance of hospitality taxes to the city, concurrent with the action by Charleston County.
This is separate from what we're doing now, though, or is it lumped together?
It's all lumped together.
That we have been discussing will be part of an emergency ordinance that would be enacted by council tonight by vote.
That motion that I made, is that all the stuff that you just said lumped in with that motion?
Yes. Add that.
Well, you all would be voting on the motion that you made that was amended. Mm-hmm. That motion will be incorporated into the emergency ordinance that you all would be voting afterwards.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. So we should vote on the motion.
Correct.
Okay. Hear it. Anybody else?
No, I just comment on emergency declaration, but I'll wait till after we vote on.
Okay. All those in favor of the...
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
One last question, I'm sorry. Somebody asked me if the re-entry stickers that expired January 2020,
they're still good.
Are they still good?
They're still good.
Oh, the hurricane. You're talking about the hurricane stickers.
Yes.
So.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Okay. Hearing nothing else, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? This passes unanimously.
Now, Desiree, you're talking about delaying payment of a tax and tourism taxes as well. I know our business license fees are coming up soon here too in April, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Is there any indication, and I'm not sure what the impact would be, whether we go through a lot of these restaurants who are trying, that's one of the reasons we pushed the business license fee up to April, because nobody had money in January after a downturn. Mm-hmm. So is there any indication that we should look at moving the business license fee out to coordinate with, I don't know what our time frame is for our accommodations tax.
So the language in the emergency ordinance would delay any deadline, including that.
And including business license?
Correct. It's comprehensive. It says all city imposed deadlines.
Okay.
We kept it general for that same reason.
Thank you.
Number five, consideration of emergency ordinances addressing the following. Number one, A, consideration deferral delay of local accommodation hospitality taxes for businesses due to the COVID-19. Desiree?
That's what we just discussed.
Yeah, but the this is a Charleston County, and it was, the date is?
Today.
Today.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a motion?
A motion to approve.
We don't need a motion. Yeah, you don't need a motion. All of those items are included in the emergency ordinance, so maybe we should discuss the language in the emergency ordinance.
Let's go do that. Okay.
Yeah. So it includes all deadlines imposed by city ordinance applicable to the municipality or applicant shall be suspended during this temporary period. If it is the will of council, we can amend that by changing it to 90 days or until the state of emergency is lifted. Do you have any recommendation or language on that?
I think either of the options you just put out, great.
Is there any, do we want to add some timeline amending?
I can just make a motion for 90 days.
Second.
I'd like to, is there any appetite for using the IRS guidelines, which is July 15th?
I'm just doing the math in my head. Is that roughly 90 days?
Yeah. Pretty much. But it's just so everybody's straight.
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion to make that deadline to July 15th.
Okay.
However, I tell you, the state of South Carolina has not complied. They've gone to July 1st. But at this time, it might be easier to go with the IRS guideline.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second.
I second it.
And any other discussion? Yes,
ma'am. A motion to amend.
A motion to amend. That's what this is. All those in favor of this motion to amend to July 15th, signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. Any nays? Carries unanimously.
Okay. The city administrator is authorized to develop and enact a plan in order to ensure continuity of delivery of government services in the light of COVID-19 outbreak. The city administrator is authorized to cancel and revoke any special events permits issued prior to the date of this ordinance for events taking place until April 30th, 2020. Disclaimer, we've already done that. All public gatherings of any type, whether organized or otherwise, of greater than 10 persons are prohibited, which is consistent with the governor's order. And then seven, any violation of any rule or regulation issued and set forth herein shall be punishable as provided in Title IX, Chapter 3, Section 2, Disorderly Conduct of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Isle of Palms. Section 6, which you have not read yet because it's part of the motion that was recently voted on, would mean access to the island will be restricted for the next 14 days beginning March 21st at 7 a.m. to the following. Residents of the island with a current parking decal or proof of residency readily available or near the vehicle without the need for physical interaction with officers, service workers with current decals, also readily visible and available, holders of a current short-term rental contract, relatives and or friends of residents only in presence of a current resident in a vehicle with a current parking decal or proof of residency, residents and guests of Wild Dunes with a proper and current QR code or proof of residency, delivery personnel including but not limited to pharmacy, FedEx, UPS, Amazon, and USPS, any delivery of essential medical services, including caregivers, employees of local businesses, including but not limited to grocery stores, restaurants, contractors, short-term rentals, and property managers, and that access will be restricted, subject to the above, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. during this period. I would recommend some language that if after this meeting we find something that's reasonable that should have been included, it gives me the authority to add it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you all feel comfortable with?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
We can do that.
Because yeah, I agree with that because as Mr. Moyer pointed out earlier about real estate, you know, there are a lot of companies out here who there's not many people looking, but still it's a business. It's a big business in Alphon. So let's give the city administrator the authority to amend things as we have slightly forgot going through this.
We did something like that in Mount Pleasant yesterday.
Okay. Anything else?
Just to make sure, can somebody make a motion amending and that will include language to that effect in the emergency ordinance?
I'll make that a motion.
Second.
Did that include the part about us being able to meet?
Oh, it does include the ability to meet electronically. So we would be setting telephone conference calls and making sure that
for council to be able to meet
electronically during this pandemic.
And this amendment would be authority for you to make those changes in order to restrict movements and things like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Will inform us beforehand.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All those in favor of this amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Any nays? Amendment passes unanimously.
Right.
And I think we're good.
Now you're voting on the emergency ordinance. As amended.
As amended. All right, all those in favor of the emergency order as amended, say aye.
Aye.
I need a second.
You need a motion and a second.
I'll second.
Second. Okay, any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Passes unanimously.
Okay, just for the record, the mayor made the motion and Randy seconded. Councilmember Bell, I'm sorry.
Same person.
Anything else?
Do I hear a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.